Well, thank you, Pastor Pittman, again for the opportunity to preach tonight. And I don't know about you, but my heart's already been stirred. I mean, I love the Spanish language, so to see what God is doing in Mexico with the Estep family, and to just see the work, see the lives that have been changed. It should stir your heart as a church. If you've been involved in giving to missions, to know that those people are not just numbers, they're actually souls that are on their way to heaven because of your giving, your obedience to the Lord, your faith promise that you give, and your church corporately supporting them, and your part in that. And God keeps a record of all of that. That's the exciting thing. Even the things that you never see, God sees them, and one day He will reward you for those things. I believe He's rewarding us already for our involvement, but He also will reward us in the future. And then to see Togo. For me, that's kind of special. I've never been to Togo, but I went to Trinity Baptist College back in 1988 as Brother Randy and Miss Jeanette were on their way to Togo. And of course, everyone was talking about it there at that church. And even though I didn't know them, there was a stir in the air. There was an excitement in the air because of their involvement, because of their going. We followed that probably 15 years later. Brother Randy did some flight instruction for me in preparation to get me ready to go to Venezuela. And so I got to know him a little bit better. I've never been as airsick as I was that day after flying with him. You say, how did he make you airsick? He took me northwest of Jacksonville over the Okefenokee Swamp, which is a large area. And he said, now, Brian, put your head down between your knees. And he said, keep it there until I tell you to pick it up. And he started just turning the airplane, going up and down and around till I didn't know which way was up and which way was down. He said, okay, your airplane. And I looked up and my eyes were still spinning. And he said, now fly us safely back to wherever. And I was like, where are we? I mean, I had no idea. But, you know, just to spend some time with them. And it's exciting for me to see someone who's been faithfully serving on the field for 30 years and to see what God can do with a faithful servant when they will stick with it. And just to see them about to go back and know that what God's doing and what He still has planned for them to do, it's just an excitement for us to be here tonight. And it's a very special thing. When I heard they were going to be here, it made me even more excited to come to the conference this year. Now, the last couple of nights, we started the first night talking about the theme, lifting up your eyes, and we talked about really the context of what was going on at that period of time and what the Lord Jesus was trying to teach the disciples, having just reached the lady at the Samaritan at the well there in Sychar, and how that He was helping His disciples to look outside and think outside of the Jewish culture and think outside of the box so that He could give them a bigger picture for what He was wanting to do after His death, burial, and His resurrection, and later it'd be the ministry to the Gentiles. And that was going to be a big thing for them. And honestly, Peter was there. He was a part of it, and the Lord had to deal with him specifically in his life to prepare him for that ministry to the Gentiles. And you know, last night we looked at several different things. We talked about how to pray for missionaries again, kind of did a recap on that, and really just trying to get an idea of what God is trying to do. And I believe that the heart of everybody in this room tonight is I want to be a part of the bigger picture. I want to be focused in not on just having my head down doing my job, but I want a glimpse on what God is doing around the world. And let me tell you, you're in the right church to see that. You're in the right conference to see that. You have the right missionaries here to see that. But there's so much more that God can do with a life that is completely surrendered to Him. It's so much bigger than you could even imagine if you simply will just yield to Him and say yes to Him. Do you remember the first night I said, you know, all God really wants from us is just a simple yes. He just wants obedience. He wants us to trust Him. You know, that life of faith. And a few months ago, I was preaching in a conference down in Cleveland, Tennessee, and the theme of the conference was Launch Out, and I began to study that particular portion of Scripture. And you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 5. That's where we'll be in just a moment. But I was preparing for the messages for that particular service and that church and the missions conference, and I had heard some messages on that particular portion of Scripture where the Lord Jesus is specifically dealing with Peter. And really gives him some simple commands that we'll read here in just a moment. But the more that I studied this portion of scripture, the more the Lord began to deal with me about, was this really the calling of Peter? Was this the turning point? Was this the crossroad in the life of Peter? Or what brought him to this point of decision where he responded appropriately when the Lord led him? And I began to really look back at his life, and that's what we're going to do tonight, and just see what is it like to just say yes to the Lord and answer his call in your life. We talked about his will last night. We talked about his purpose. But tonight, let's begin reading in chapter number 5 and verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when they had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets." And we've seen this before. I'm sure you've heard messages on this before. "Let down your nets," plural, "for a draught. And Simon answering, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which had been taken, or which they had taken. Tonight, I want us to really back up from this particular story. Have you ever seen or read a story where they kind of started at the end and they went back, they suddenly jump back, and maybe on the screen it says 3 years earlier? And they bring you back and they bring you up to that moment of time that they started with. And you begin to really understand as the story unfolds of what was really going on up until that moment of decision. And that's really what I want to do with the message here tonight, as we consider really this call, this opportunity, this launch out command that the Lord Jesus has given to Peter. I want us to think back. We're coming out of a time frame when the nation of Israel has not heard from the Lord for some 400 years. We're coming into that time frame of the New Testament where John the Baptist is coming out of the wilderness, and he's proclaiming that the Messiah is coming. He's preaching the message of repent and be baptized, for the kingdom is at hand. And he's saying these things, and then the nation of Israel is somewhat excited. They've been hearing about the Messiah. They've been listening to the prophecies. They've been raised with the understanding that the Messiah is coming, that the king will come, his throne will be established. I mean, all of these things Peter has heard all of his life, as well as the other Israelites, up until this point of time. And then if you go over to John chapter number 4, and you can see this in the book of Matthew and also in Mark, but you'll also find out that when John the Baptist was baptizing and Jesus came to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, John the Baptist identified the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. How many of you remember reading that in the scriptures? And you can see it in the different gospels. Present that particular day, one of the disciples of John the Baptist was a man named Andrew, who we find to be Simon Peter's brother. Well, Andrew was there, and if you look at it in the book of John, you can see that John the Baptist identified to Andrew that this is the Son of God. And Andrew, you follow it in the scriptures, he went home and got his brother Simon Peter and told his brother Simon Peter, "I have met the Messiah," and he brought him to Christ and introduced him. As a matter of fact, when he met Christ, that's when Christ told him, "Your name is going to be Cephas," which means Peter, or it means the rock, and he changed his name at that particular point in time. Now, if we continue on and we go into Luke chapter number 4, we'll find that the Lord continued to work in Peter's life. The Lord began to, he began to do some work in that area of Capernaum. He was on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's working in Capernaum and Bethsaida and down on the seashore, the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And it's an area that Peter understood and Peter knew. Peter was a local fisherman. He was a local businessman. He was a man from that area, from Bethsaida. He knew the people. They knew him. They knew that, I mean, he was a fisherman. He went out every night to fish and to provide for his family, and I'm sure he was providing for others as well. And yet all of these things are going on at the same time. But here's what I want you to see tonight. I want you to see that Peter went from a time in his life where he was hearing that the Messiah was coming to where he heard a third party, being his brother Andrew, and his account of having met the Messiah, to the time where he was able to meet the Messiah personally. And he was in the, and all of this God was using in his life to prepare him one day for something special that he had for him to do. You know, I was thinking tonight as we were watching these missionary presentations, Brother Estep was telling me, and I'm glad that he shared this with me this week, that he's the product of military missions. God used military churches to reach him and to bring him to a place of salvation and to disciple him, and it's called a ministry. And he's thanked me no less than a half a dozen times this week for our involvement in military missions, and I thank God for that. But do you realize that at some point in time, the Lord began to work in his life, but God had been working much longer than he even realizes, bringing him to a place of understanding of who Christ was. And it kept getting more personal and more personal. I want you to look with me at chapter number 4, if you will. The Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry, after his baptism, he went into the desert to be tempted, and we know about that. He comes back after he hears about John being in prison. He's back in that same area. He's been in the synagogue. He's healed the man that had the devil that was in him. And then in chapter number 4 and about verse number 38, it says, "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them." What I want you to see here is, again, looking at it from the context of the Lord Jesus was ministering, yes, to the multitudes, but I want you to see tonight he was also focused in on an individual that you and I have heard a lot about in our lifetime if you grew up in church. I mean, we're talking about the one that called out Ananias and Sapphira for the lying to the Holy Spirit of God. We're talking about the one that was with the Lord Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. We're talking about the one that had the powerful message after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the one that did the signs and the wonders and miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Apostle Peter, who indeed was the rock. But before all of those things, I want you to understand, God was conditioning him. God was molding him. God was drawing him. And there was a point that we see here in the scriptures tonight that he turned specifically to him and said, "Simon." You know, in our lives, I wonder how many times we've rejoiced in the ministries of other people. Someone else has led someone to Christ, or someone else has taught a Sunday school class, or someone else has had a van route, or someone else has gone on a missions trip, and someone else has surrendered to go to missions, and you've seen them do amazing things, and you've seen God bless in their life, and you continue to see that, but then there comes a place in your life where you're like, "Lord, I want a piece of that. Lord, I want to see that kind of wonder in my life." And it's not a prideful question. It's not a prideful desire. It's like, "God, I want to know you on that level." You know, and the Apostle Peter, as we look at this, I've looked at a Peter many, many times in my life and thought, man, he was just an awesome person. He'd be a great role model. Now, he had his failures, but we all do, amen. I mean, we talk about, well, he walked on the water, but yeah, he took his eyes off the Lord. Well, how many times have you done that? Absolutely. But I admire his courage. I admire his fire. I admire his passion. But where did that come from? It came from that personal relationship with the Lord. I want you to see tonight that leading up to this portion of scripture that we read about, when he's in Simon's boat and he's been teaching the multitudes, and then he turns to Simon and says, launch out into the deep. I want you to understand God had been working in his heart prior to that. I want you to understand that when he went into his home to minister to his mother-in-law, there again, it was going from a third-party understanding and someone else's blessing and someone else's testimony to now he's in my house. He's healing my mother-in-law, and I'm not even going to make any jokes about that, amen? But he's doing something personal for Peter. But then you'll notice, if you go down to the end of chapter number 4, where did Peter go? He went back to work. I like Peter. He's a blue-collar guy. He's doing his job. He's got people that are depending on him. His father, his brothers, they're going out, and they're going out to fish. And at the end of chapter number 4, when Christ has been teaching in the synagogue, Peter's in after a full night of fishing, and he's washing and mending his nets on the beach, and the Lord Jesus is teaching the multitudes. And you know Peter could hear it because he's there. He's listening to it. Again, Christ is ministering. But then he says, Simon, hey, I'm going to get on your boat. I'm going to commandeer your vessel for a moment. And I want you to launch out a little bit so that I can continue to teach. Now, Simon has gone from mending and washing his nets on the seashore. Now he's sitting in the boat, and now he's a captive audience. You can't dismiss himself. Christ is right there teaching. He's listening. And I believe that the Lord Jesus was doing this on purpose. He was preparing Peter for what he was about to teach him. And he's teaching the multitudes, but I want you to understand, he's cognizant, the Lord Jesus is cognizant of the fact that Peter's right there in the boat beside him, and he knows he's about to zero in his sights on Peter. And that's where we come into this story today. You see, if we just read right into launch out into the deep, we'd be like, Peter just came out of nowhere and he just had this great act of faith. I want you to understand, the Lord has been preparing him for this decision point that is coming up right here in the scriptures that we're reading about here in Luke chapter number 4. Again, I say to you, my friend, God is preparing you. You've been part of the multitude. You've been the one that's been sitting there in the crowd. You've been listening to the message. You've been watching the videos. You've been hearing the testimonies. Some of you have been listening to the testimonies of those going on missions trips for a number of years. And in your heart's in the right place. But you're going to work every day. You're mending your nets. You're washing your nets. You're going back to work. Not tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. But Monday. You're going to take care of your family. You're going to do the work that you know you're supposed to do. You're going to teach your Sunday school class. You're going to invite people to church. You're going to cook for the breakfast in the morning. You're going to clean up afterwards. You're going to do all the things that you know to do. But I'm here today to tell you that the Lord is preparing you, and he's going to offer you more. He's going to turn his attention to you, and he's going to speak to you personally, specifically. And he's going to say, do you want more? And he's going to say, launch out. You see, he gives two commands here that I think we need to focus our attention on here just for a moment tonight. I'm not going to preach the message per se out of these particular verses. I know you've heard them before. But I want you to see that he tells him to do two things. One, launch out. And then secondly, let down. Now, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus has chosen these two commands for this man. If he told me, if he got in my boat, all I've ever done is water skied in my boat. I don't have a boat right now, but that's all I've ever done. I don't like to fish. I like to catch, but I don't like to fish. I'll go eat fish at a restaurant, amen, and when they run out, then I might go cast a line in. But if the Lord got in my boat and said launch out, it wouldn't have the same meaning that it would mean to a man like Peter, who had been out on his boat all night long and labored and taken nothing. But now the Lord has turned to him again. He's been teaching the multitudes, but he turns to Peter and he said, let's go out. Now, humanly speaking, here's what I would think Peter would have in his mind. I'm tired. Lord, you know the catching comes at night, not in the heat of the day. We're prepared for tomorrow night, but I really don't want to go. How many of you see that? You can see it in his response to what he says to the Lord. He's going to do it, but he's going to do it kind of like a teenager taking out the trash. Okay, I'll do it, but... I mean, I'm reading it into it, but you can almost see that. I don't have to read a lot into it, because what did he do? He let down one net instead of letting down the two. But he gave these two commands. But here's what I want you to notice. In verse number 5, Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. There you see his fatigue. There you see his humanity. There you see even his attitude, if you will. And have taken nothing. Nevertheless, here's his compliance. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, it was not a complete and total compliance. It was not complete obedience. Amen. He left a trash can. Amen. He didn't get them all. But he said, and when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Now, this is where this personal ministry of the Lord Jesus to Peter is so important for us to see. Peter had been witness to Christ's miracles already. He had heard the stories about his neighbor and his community, and the men from his community that had been healed by Christ. He had heard from Andrew, his brother, that this man had been identified as the Messiah. Surely he is the Christ. He's heard all of those things. He's seen the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in his own home as the fever from his mother-in-law had been rebuked and had gone away. But all of those things can be set to the side. Why? Because there must be some explanation for this. But now the Lord chooses an area of Peter's life that he understands better than most. This is his livelihood. His life depends upon him knowing when to fish and where to fish. His livelihood depends upon his nets, the ability of his boat, the ability of his crew. And now the Lord has chosen to confound his mind, because Peter doesn't realize that this master, this Christ, this Messiah is actually the creator of all things, and he commands the winds, the waves, and the creatures of the earth. He doesn't understand that on the previous night when Peter was out there fishing, that the Lord had ushered all of the fish over to one side and kept them away from the boat. But then when he told him to let down the net, he was going to call them all back in like the Pied Piper, and they were going to swim into that net. Peter didn't know all of those things were going to happen, but Christ chose that particular miracle because he wanted Peter to know beyond a shadow of a doubt who he was and what he was capable of doing. And so he let down the net reluctantly. And when he takes up the net, can you imagine hearing the creaking and the groaning of the hardware and the tackle and the ropes? The listing of the boat as the weight of the net begins to come up. And Peter, who has brought the net in so many times in his own life, he's grown up in that world. He's grown up in that environment. He knows everything there is to know about it, except the power of God when God gets involved in something. And that night, or that day, in the middle of the day, he's bringing in that net, and it defies logic. And he sees what God is trying to do. And look at his response, and this is really where I want to focus our attention. In verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it. Now that's not just, oh, I saw this. It's, I saw this. It's like, wow. It had an impact on him. He knew this defies logic. This doesn't just happen. That net was in the water just a few hours ago, and there wasn't a fish in the ocean, amen? But I'm looking at it now, and I realize the man that commanded me to launch out and to let down the net has intervened. He's done something specific here. He has a power that I've never seen before. He's not only touching the lives of other people. He's not only healing the sick. He's not only healing my mother-in-law. This man is trying to reach me. He's trying to show me what he can do if I will simply be obedient to him. And it caused him to do something. What did he do? Verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And what was the next two words? "Oh Lord." My friend, I do believe there should come a time in your life where you say, "Lord, I appreciate what you've done in Brother Jeremy's life. I appreciate the vision you've given Pastor Pittman and all the blessings to bring all these things together and the answers to prayer and all the things that God has done in his life. But Lord, I want you to do that in my life. And I want you to just for a moment think back at the times that God has been ministering to you in your life and you really haven't even acknowledged it. But tonight you're saying, "Lord, if you ask me to launch out, I want to do it without hesitation. And Lord, I want to see you being in a draw to fishes in a way that I cannot deny that it's you that has done it." My friend, he can do that in your life, but it requires something of you. It requires an acknowledgement of his authority in your life, and it requires obedience to his call in your life. Now, I know Pastor has been saying this week that he wants to see God call more people out of the church to go to the mission field. I think that's great. But you know what this church needs? This church needs 100% of its congregation to be surrendered to God, no matter what he asks them to do. It's that simple obedience. You say, how did Peter get to the place of preaching at the Sermon on the Mount? How did he get to the place of healing the sick and cleansing the lepers? And how did he get to the place with the power and the authority to be the spokesperson for the apostles? How did he get to that? My friend, I remind you, in the beginning, he's a fisherman that's been out all night. He's been fishing. He's mending his nets. He's cleaning his nets. He's going about his business. And one day God said, "I have more for you, Peter, if you'll simply listen to me." There's not a missionary in this room tonight that would say, "I knew God was going to do all this." No, we're not that smart. If you would have told me I would have gone to language school and learned the Spanish language, I would have personally stood there and laughed, and all of my high school teachers would have stood with me and laughed with me. Because I just wanted out of school. But that time in 1989, when God spoke to my heart, I think it was April of 1989, he didn't say, "Brian, I care about your credentials." No, he said, "I care about your heart and I care about your obedience." I didn't know what that picture was going to look like, but the tapestry that we talked about last night, because of my obedience, he began to weave that tapestry. And that line with mine, that thread with my name on it, he began to weave it. And he took Chris and I and he started weaving us into that tapestry. And it's not just one thread because it's interwoven with all of those others. And he's making a masterpiece out of it. But tonight, I think, is a crossroad for you. I believe tonight is a crossroad where you determine, "Yes, I want more. Yes, I want to be obedient." Now, I'm not going to tell you it won't be scary at times, because that's what faith is. Faith is walking without sight. Not too many of us turn all the lights off in the middle of the night and walk through the house. No, we turn the lights on. Why? Because we like to walk by sight. But when we walk by faith, the Lord keeps us in a place where we need to be, and that's trusting him and depending upon him. And when he moves, it's one of the most rewarding experiences of your life. So tonight we're going to ask this question and we'll be done. If Jesus steps into your boat tonight, let's just say he is. He's stepping into your world tonight. And he's not reminding you of all the things he's done in your past, but you're thinking about it. And he's stepping into your world, and he said, "I'm ready for you to launch out. You say, well, I'm too old to launch out. No. If you're still breathing, you can be used by God. I think I told you this a couple of years ago, or one of the times I was here before. Even though I was pastoring a church, I didn't realize I'd put my roots down too deep. My son was on staff. My granddaughter was born. We had a house on the family farm. Life was good. I was content. Amen. I was in the land of sweet tea and cathead biscuits and red-eye gravy. I was a happy man. I was real close to West Kentucky, Brother Sisk. I mean, I was real close to the promised land. I understand that. But I was settling, and I didn't know I was settling. I was pastoring a church. But I had allowed myself to settle. And then one of the missionaries you support, Brother David Gross, in Moldova, was preaching the conference. And that was the night the Lord said, Brian, I need you to pull your roots up again. And I need you to launch out. And it was a decision point for me. At 50 years of age, some of you think that's really old. The rest of you think, man, you're a young pup. But to me, I felt like, what can I do at 50? And the Lord said, it's not what you can do, it's what I can do through you. I just want you to launch out and let down your nets. Tonight, you may be a young person that's in school, and the Lord's been stirring your heart for some time. It could be you're a parent, and you know God's been speaking to your child, and I can't think of a better thing that I would want my child to do than to serve the Lord and say yes to the Lord. It's a great opportunity to know that you've raised children that are tender to the voice of God. There's no greater joy than that. But whether you're young or whether you're older, you say, well, I'm much older than 50. I know you're 53. But the Lord's saying, will you launch out? Some of you may be saying, well, I'm close to retirement. Will you launch out? He's stepping into your world tonight and he's saying, do you trust me? Will you let down your nets for a draught? Because I want to show you what power I have. A power that you've never seen before. You've witnessed it in other people's lives, but I want to demonstrate it in yours. Will you listen to me? Will you trust me? Will you let down the nets tonight? Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. And I want to ask you this question. I've already asked you, but I want to ask you with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Is the Lord speaking to your heart tonight? Would you say, Brother Brian, I have witnessed God do amazing things, not only in my life, but in the lives of other people. But there is a longing in my heart to see him do more. There's a longing in my heart to be used by God in a way that I've never seen before. And if the Lord would visit my world tonight and say to me, would you launch out? I would like to think that I had the courage to say, yes, Lord, I will launch out. If you're here tonight and you would just be honest with me and say, I would like to think I had the courage to launch out, would you lift your hand and let me see it tonight? You can put it right down, young and old alike. I see hands all over the auditorium. I would like to think that I was courageous enough to say, yes, Lord, and I would let down the nets. Well, maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Brian, it's beyond that for me. It's not just my desire. I hear a clear and distinct call of the Lord, a specific call to be used in missions. There's no doubt about it. I know that's what he wants me to do. Would you raise your hand and let me see that tonight? I want to pray for you. I see your hand, back in the back, young and old alike, small children. It can be adults, anyone else. I see another young man. I feel like God wants me to be a missionary. I feel like God is calling me. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone else in the auditorium? I see your hand. Thank you, young lady. Someone else? Yes, thank you. I'm glad I saw your hand, sir. You can put your hand down. Someone else? I feel like God's calling me. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know what all is going to happen. But this story of Peter resonates in my heart. Peter is just a man living life, doing what he knows to do, taking care of his family. And God visits him one day and starts him on a new path that he never would have imagined. Preacher, I want that in my life. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. I want that in my life. I want to be used by God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man, young ladies. Thank you. I see your hands, young people. Then we come to a time of decision. You say, are you going to embarrass me? Are you going to call me out? Are you going to make me come forward tonight? No, I do want you to do this. I want you in just a moment when we stand, if you raise your hand, whether you said, I want courage, or you said, I have an undeniable call, I would like for you to come forward tonight and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I want you to know I'm ready, I'm available. Whether it's I'm asking for courage or I know it's a call, I want you to come tonight. I want you to answer that call and kneel before the Lord tonight and confirm that commitment to him. Would you do that? Our Father, we come to you tonight, and as the invitation is given in just a moment, I believe the song is, as you're all on the altar. And Lord, as we think about the words of that song, Lord, we sincerely desire to put our all on the altar. Lord, we know that Peter was tired. He had been laboring all night. And yet you chose that moment in time to demonstrate your power in his life. And Lord, he answered that call. And he answered it with a humble kneeling and falling on his knees before you and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Tonight we should bow before you. And Lord, we should say, Lord, we know that we're not worthy, but we've been declared worthy by the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you have a purpose for us, and we want to fulfill that purpose. Give us the courage tonight to do that, to follow you. And then, Lord, we ask that you would take us and use us as you see fit for your honor and for your glory. Would you stand to your feet, your head bowed, your eyes closed, as Brother Brandon begins to sing, as you're all on the altar? If you raise your hand already tonight, would you come? Others have already come to pray. Right now, would you step out if God's spoken to your heart? You indicated that with your uplifted hand. Would you come? If you want someone to pray with you tonight, if you really believe God wants you to surrender to missions, but you'd like to pray with someone tonight, just let us know and someone will pray with you. Others are coming. What about you, my friend? You need to come, young and old alike, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, school-age children, singles. Are you surrendered to him? Would you come tonight? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid?
All on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart, does the Spirit control?